Regeneration opens the door to new possibilities for our lives. Hallelujah.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In case you didn't realize it, salvation is a two-part deal. The power of the Holy Spirit that saves is the same power that transforms the nature and character of the believer. In the message we will hear this evening, Pastor Brian Grant speaks about that as he lists four important ways in which the Holy Spirit works to transform the believer into the kind of person who brings glory to Christ through his or her life. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of The Transforming Power of the Holy Spirit.
About 25 years ago, 16 members of our family went on vacation to Marbella, Spain. And since I was buying a new car, I arranged to pick the car up in Germany so I could drive it through Europe and before it was shipped back to the United States. I want to tell you, it was a lot of fun, you know, driving a nice car, my legs could fit in. Sometimes when you rent cars at my height in Europe, they're so small, my knees are coming through the dashboard. But it was a lot of fun driving a car on the Autobahn and other highways. Listen, I was able to drive at speeds I've never done in America. One day I was driving a little over 100 miles an hour when I saw a police car in front of me. And like a good American, you know what I did? I slowed down, as all good Americans do when you see a police. Am I right about that? But to my surprise, I was the only one slowing down. All the others jetted past the policeman at well over 100 miles an hour. And I figured if this is how it's done, I may as well follow the crowd. And so I kicked it up a notch. You want to know how much I was doing? I'm not going to tell you because it would incriminate me to tell you how fast I was going. But suffice it to say, it was well over 100 miles an hour. It was pure joy. But don't worry. Don't worry. Some of you are saying, Pastor Brian is a crazy man. Don't worry. I am now reformed. And I have not equaled those speeds again. By the time, I hear a big amen in the back. I'm not telling you how fast I go now, but I certainly haven't gone that fast. By the time we arrived in Marbella, we had done over 2,000 miles traveling through Germany, France, Switzerland, and Spain without getting lost. Here's why. The car was equipped. You talk about GPS today. You got to remember, now I'm talking about 25 years ago. The car was equipped with a brand new transformational device called a navigation system. It was one of the first to have this navigation system. And so I tell you, we were really able to cover a lot of ground. But that evening, as we waited for the rest of the family to come, they had landed in Madrid, and we waited up all evening for them to arrive. They did not, so we went to bed. The next morning, we found out that it had taken them 14 hours to do the 300 miles from Madrid to where we were. Can you imagine? 14 hours to travel 300 miles. Even guys riding bicycles can go that fast. What had happened, they didn't take a map from America, and so they had to buy a map when they arrived in Spain, since they didn't have this transformational device. So they had to buy a map, and the map was in Spanish. And since none of them spoke Spanish, they made several wrong turns, 300 miles in 14 hours. I felt sorry for them, but I was really excited. I had this new transformational system in my car. You know, I'm always excited to be exposed to new things that are transformational. But I want to tell you this morning, despite all the transformational things I've experienced, nothing can compare to the power and the transformative power of the blood. Amen. And so today I'm using as my theme the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, on the way back to Madrid, I may as well confess, on the way back to Madrid, my ugly pride kicked in, and I told the others, just follow me, for I have a navigation system. Well, what I didn't know is that back then there were areas outside the system's tracking zone. And so as we drove along, chatting in very nicely, we didn't realize that the navigation system had gone quiet for a while. And now we realize we were lost in the woods. So guess what I did? I didn't turn around, and I didn't want the others to know after all my bragging that we were lost. So I kept driving, praying for deliverance. And when I finally saw a gas station, I was sure deliverance had come. Until I went inside and realized nobody spoke English in the gas station. Anyway, the Lord blessed me with an idea. I had a map. Their map was in Spanish. I probably should have pulled their map. My map was in English. Nobody in the gas station spoke English. So we couldn't communicate. Somehow I was able to gesture to them and help them to realize I wanted them to show me where we were. They were finally able to say. And once I knew where I was, and I knew I could see where Madrid was, I just headed for Madrid. And after we drove for a little while, the navigation started talking again. I was back in the zone for my navigation system, and I was good to go. Listen, I am so glad the Holy Spirit does not operate in a limited coverage area. How about you? I am so glad the Holy Spirit knows every turn our lives will take, every problem we'll face, and that He is always willing to guide us. Are you like that? Let me ask you, do you know Him? Does the Spirit of God live in you? Well, I tell you, if He doesn't, if you're not sure that He's living in your heart, I trust that this morning you will come to know the Savior and receive His Spirit, who can lead you and guide you every single day for the rest of your life. I want to speak to you this morning four things about the Holy Spirit's transforming power. Four things about the Holy Spirit's transforming power. Here's the first thing I want you to write in your notes. The Holy Spirit's transforming power has regenerated us. He has regenerated us. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it reads thus, "For we ourselves were also once foolish." Yes, we were. "We were disobedient." Amen, weren't we all? Listen, "we were deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are Christians today because of the Holy Spirit's transforming and regenerating power. Amen? So add this to your notes. Regeneration means rebirth. It means to be born again. This means there is hope for the vilest sinner. For despite our past, we can be spiritually reborn. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 states, "God saved us not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Listen, sometimes we think that the reason we're saved is because we were a little better than somebody else. But our salvation has nothing to do with how good or bad we were. Because we are, as far as a holy God is concerned, we were all hopelessly lost. Amen. But thank God for his grace. And today I can say, by the grace of God, I have been regenerated. I am born again. I am brand new because of what God has done in my life. Here are two important things about regeneration that I want to point out. Number one, add this to your notes. Regeneration gives us a new nature. Regeneration gives us a new nature. Pigs love dirt. Am I right about that? They love the mud. But you know, every now and then I've seen a very well-dressed pig. You ever seen a well-dressed pig? Sometimes I've seen people, they bathe that one little pig and they put nice clothes on the pig. I've even seen pigs with a little bow tie. You know, he may look like the best dressed pig in town, but if he get loose and sees some mud, guess where that best dressed pig is heading? Oh, you know where he's heading. The best dressed pig is heading for that mud hole. Why? He may be cleaned up on the outside, but his nature didn't change. He was still a pig. You know, many religions try to reform us and clean us up on the outside. Listen, and sometimes if we're not careful, we go on all sorts of missions to get to be better. But listen, we could be so nicely dressed and cultured like that pig. But listen, deep down inside, we're still just like that pig. We're still sinners. But when God regenerates us, he just doesn't just clean us up on the outside. He gives us a brand new nature. Amen. He gives us a brand new nature. That's why the Bible tells us that we're born again. That word born again actually has significant meaning, because it's telling us that although we were born sinners, when God comes into our life and changes us, we are born again, a brand new start, a brand new nature. Amen. Some people are afraid to become Christians because they're not sure they can keep up the Christian life. You ever read people like that? I remember when I used to do a lot of street work, I'd run into all these people who are not willing to become Christians because they figure they can't keep it up. But I'm thankful to tell you this morning that I am not the one that is keeping my salvation. Amen. He is the one who is keeping me. We can make it, for at salvation, God gave us a brand new nature. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, comes to live in us. Oh, please don't miss that. When you are born again, young man, older person, when you are born again, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, comes to live in you. And he is the one who keeps us from falling. Are you listening to me? He is the one who keeps us from falling. And yes, sometimes we will mess up, but he will never give up on us. Amen. And he will keep us and he will straighten us out. So write this. Regeneration opens the door to new possibilities for our lives. Hallelujah. The minute we get saved, I'm so glad when some of us come from backgrounds where, because of our education, we get the impression we're okay. Don't put too much emphasis on your education, you know. Because God's plan for your life doesn't depend on your education. And then on the other hand, there are some who get saved and they come from backgrounds that they might not have as much education and opportunities. And so they figure they can only go so far. And they miss the fact that the person who lives in them is the Almighty, Omnipotent God. The one who has no limits. And he can do in us and through us what may seem to be totally impossible. Amen. Here's what Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 tells us. We're going to put it on the screen in the New Living Translation. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Did you see that? Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Wow! I remember when I was a teenager, a couple who were shacking up got saved. Since the Spirit of God came to live in them, they made a decision, a commitment at that time, at the point of their salvation, that they were going to submit their lives to God. So instead of continuing in their old sinful ways, and sadly, a lot of people get saved who are still trying to keep the old way going. But these two young people decided that they were not going to continue their old sinful ways. And instead of shacking up, they decided to get married. What a novel idea. You know, a lot of times we get saved and we still are carrying on all that old stuff. They decided to get married, and he was a hustler. Not always legal hustling, but he was a hustler, okay? And he decided instead of hustling, he was going to get that novel thing called a J-O-B. You ever heard of it? A J-O-B. Let me just say, if you're saved and you're not trying to get a J-O-B, you may want to revisit the cross. Because my Bible says if a man doesn't want to work, he should not what? Oh, my goodness. Oh, you say, but we have welfare. The Bible says if you will not work, you should not eat. Oh, you say, Pastor, you're talking tough this morning. I wish I had more time this morning. Because one of the things that's wrecking our society is that we have too many young men. Here we were in North Philly yesterday. All these able-bodied guys. So many not working. So many with no desire for a job. What a transformation would happen. All right, but that's another message. That's another message. But if you're here this morning, or if you're listening on the radio, or if you're listening on the internet, and you're one of those who are quite satisfied to get the check from the government, if you are able-bodied and healthy, go get a job. If you want somebody to help you, come talk to us. We will mentor you. We will encourage you. We will do everything we can. We will lead you to opportunities. But when the opportunities open up, don't say, no, I need $25 an hour or I won't take the job. Take the job for the minimum wage. All right, I'm off track. Let me get back on track, all right? Here's the bottom line. This couple, they just decided to follow Jesus. They decided to stop all that nonsense and to live right. He decided to get a job. Do you know that eventually that man, he got himself a little more education and he realized all the possibilities. That man ended up an elder in the church and the manager of one of Jamaica's largest factories. The same man who was hustling and had nothing, he started to do it God's ways. Only God knows where he will take you to when you decide to do it his ways. Regeneration opens the door to a new life, but you've got to walk through it. You've got to commit to walking with God and purposely throw off the old and put on the new. Amen? Purposely. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm going to live for Jesus because I am born again. God, the Spirit of God lives in me, and there are no limits as there is no limit to what God can do. First, the Holy Spirit's transforming power has regenerated us. But second, the Holy Spirit's transforming power has made us heaven's royalty. We are royal, amen? The Holy Spirit's transforming power has made us heaven's royalty. Flip a few more pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, where it reads there, where it reads there, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Oh, I hope you're reading with me here, that you see what God is saying about us. Amen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. A member of the royal family of heaven. Amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Wow, it's such a pity, but a lot of professing Christians have no idea who they are in Christ. So they're still fumbling around, not realizing that they are heaven's royalty right now. I don't want you to miss that, because sometimes we're so focused on what the Bible talks about what's going to happen in heaven, that we miss that right now. Right now. We are heaven's royalty. Amen. Listen, thank God one day we'll be in heaven, but thank God for where God has us right now. And my friend, God has big expectations for his royal family. In fact, Prince Harry is finding that out. Am I right about it? I'm not going to go down that path, but you realize there's a lot of expectations that Harry and his dad and his brothers, they have all sorts of expectations. Unless what God has some expectations for his family as well. Let me just give you three quick ones from the text here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's the first thing I want you to add to your notes. We must keep away from fleshly lusts. It tells you that in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, doesn't it? Doesn't it say right there? It says, Beloved, I beg your sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I'm not going to park there, since I've already said a whole lot about that. But we must keep away from fleshly lusts. As heaven's royalty, we got to live like princes and princesses. Amen? There's got to be a difference in my lifestyle. Must keep away from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. But secondly, we must ensure our lifestyle honors the Lord. Verse number 12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. This is saying that even when people start to say bad things about you, they may have to change their minds because your behavior is so totally different. Come on now. Is your behavior, is my behavior totally different? As the unsaved or the saved, see how we conduct our lives. Are they able to recognize that there's something totally different about me? Teenagers at school, are you behaving just like the rest of the other teenagers? Or is there a difference in your life? There has to be a difference. Because we are heaven's royalty. Oh, I know that, you know, the devil likes to tempt us to want to be like everybody else. Let me talk to my teenagers. There is something in us that makes us want to be like everybody else. But come on. If you're saved, you're not like everybody else. You belong to the King. You are a prince. You're a princess. God lives in you, and everywhere you go, God is with you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.